Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Basra Chav Gimel. We are holding on the last line of Chav Beis and Mabeis. We begin with a story. Rabbi Yosef, he owned these palm trees, these mini palm trees. Rabbi Yosef Havalei Hanutali. This is a small-sized palm trees in his property. The Habo'a Su Umni. Umni with these fellows, these bloodletters. They would treat their patients by alleviating their blood overload. And guess where they practiced their profession? Right there, beneath Rabbi Yosef's palm trees. V'yosfi to Sayu, they would sit beneath those trees. And Rashi, and Tosha says, it was actually their property. So Rabbi Yosef had trees, and right next door they were sitting. Perhaps the trees were, overhanging, or Tosayu means just nearby, close enough to cause trouble to his trees. Why? V'su'irvi, ravens would come along, attracted by the blood, achli dama, so they would consume the blood. V'salki, v'yasvi v'tali, and then they would go up and perch themselves on these palm trees. U'masi d'tamri, consume the dates belonging to Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef complained. Amalu Rabbi Yosef. He turned to them and he said, "Afuk, afikuli, kurkur, mihacha. Get rid of these birds that are kurkuring." Rashi says they make these kurkur noises. Basically, relocate yourself, you and your birds. Amalei Abaya turned to Rabbi Yosef. How could you insist that they relocate? V'hagramahu, at most, they're just causing you damage. It's not a direct damage. Amar lei, so he says, well, even so, hachi amar av tuvi barmas no zoyse meres. Right, we learned yesterday, right, that the Mishnah indicates to us that in fact, although perhaps after the fact, when it was just a grama, you're a potter, but beforehand, you're not meant to engage in grama. You're not allowed to do that. You have to take precautions to protect your friend's property, even from grama. So I say, whereas grama benizakan osur. So have a right to ask them to relocate. Asks the Gemara, v'ha'achzak l'hu. But it wasn't, a new thing. They've been there for a while. They had a chazaka that, they can conduct their business there because you've never said anything, you haven't, protested. So they get a chazaka, they can stay there. And says the Gemara, Ha'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barabua. So the answer is, but we have an exception to that rule. Ein chazaka linizaken. When it's just about, usage rights, yeah, chazaka works. Once you've established yourself without issues, you it's presumed you have the right, the neighbor allowed it or sold it to you, whatever. But when it's nizakan, when it's involving things that damage and hurt and harm, so even if you've been doing this for a while, it doesn't matter. Because the victim could say, look, I thought I would be able to tolerate it, now I see I can't. So Rav Yosef has a right, has full right, to insist that they leave. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Not every inconvenience is called nizakin. V'lav itmar lo. But haven't we learned in the Beis Medrash on this point that it's a very case-specific type of halacha? This idea that chazaka does not help you when it comes to nizakin, that's only by two, examples. For instance, Rav Mari Omar Bekutra, it refers to a fellow bellowing smoke into your property. So there, as Tosfos says, we're speaking about like a commercial, oven or whatever that's producing a grand amount of smoke. So you can say, look, I thought I'd tolerate it, and I see I can't. Rav Zvid Amar, he says, Beis Akise, refers to this, outhouse. So although he had established himself there, but the fellow can say, I didn't know how, severe it's going to be. So yeah, in these situations, the fellow can be moichai, can protest even down the road and say, look, I didn't anticipate this level of inconvenience. But a couple of birds hanging around your palm trees, that's not on the same level. And how could Rabbi Yosef go ahead and force them out once they have already established a chazaka? Homeless, Rabbi Yosef says, actually, honey, lididida anina datoy. You know, I'm a anina datoy means an istinus, a very particular. Tosis brings a Gemara in Psachim that there are three individuals whom the Gemara calls chayeyam, einam chayim. They have no life. They're so, overwhelmed, overcome by anxiety, by all these emotionally overwhelming tendencies. Who are these three? Tosis says harachmanim, super compassionate people. They just, never get on with things because they're always feeling bad. Or aschanim, those who have fierce tempers. Vanini adas, those are very finicky and very particular. So Rav Yosef says over there, Rekulu is nubi. Guess what? I'm a triple winner. I have all three of them. Raschanin, Rachmanin, and Anini Adas. And that corresponds to Elgamar as well. He says, look, I'm finicky. I'm sensitive. So all this blood here is really getting to me. So to me, this is just as critical as the massive amount of smoke, obesakise, in which case I have a right to stop them. Says the Mishnah, you have a birdhouse. How close to the city can you place that birdhouse? Chamishim ama. Why 50 ama? Says Rashi, shayoinim mafsidin zeroniginos, because your birds are going to consume the seeds, the plantations grown nearby. So you got to keep it 50 ama away, which is sufficient space to discourage them from, sort of out of their reach. Likewise, a person who has a big piece of property, you shouldn't put a shevach in the middle of it, unless he has enough space on all sides to protect his neighbors from his bird's visits. You have to have 50 yam on either side. Rabbi Daima, you need more than that. Base arba'as kurin. You need to be surrounded by four core spaces of land. Malay shegar ayoina, which is as far as a yoina will travel. And the Mepharshim explained that Beis Kur on either side is about 273 amah distance. Let's say you walk into a property, you purchased it, and there's a birdhouse right in the middle. You didn't place it there, it was there beforehand. Afilu Beis Roiba Ribe Chaskos, even if it's just a small strip of land surrounding the birdhouse between yourself and your neighbor, it's okay, you have a chazaka, the more we'll say later, perhaps you purchased it from you, it was worked out with the neighbors, they were moichel, so you just, pick it up where the former owner left off. So 50 yama is the space. Chamishim yama v'suloi, asks the Gemara, only 50 yama? He's not going to fly more than that. Raminu, bevakash, raminu, in person, nishbin loyenim. Another halacha, slightly related, a bird catcher should not be setting up his traps for yoinim, for these pigeons, elam kein rochik manayishiv shleishim ris. Unless he is 30 ris away from the city. And 30 ris is Rashi's 4 mil. And the reason is because you don't want to trap the local birds. So you got to be really far away from the local residents. 4 mil. That's way more than 50 amos. Apparently, birds will fly further than 50 amos. Amar Abaye, you're right. Mesha chayti tuva. Of course, a bird flies more than that. V'karasayu b'chamishim amsa malia. But here we're speaking, and the Mishnah was speaking about consuming the people's plants. So basically, Rashi says, a bird doesn't have that much of a capacity. So whatever he picks, whatever he finds within 50 yamas, that fills him up. So once you're that far away from town, by the time he gets to town, he'll be full, and he won't be consuming the local products. Meisha chai tutu, but true, they can travel very far, because their bellies, b'chamshim amsamalia, once they're picking for 50 yamas, they're full. asks the Gemara, okay, umeshat. So when it comes to flying, which is the underlying reason for the other halacha with the nets, right? Right. So the nets should not be placed within 30 ribs. It's a totally different point because the local birds will get ensnared in your net. Totally different, you know, concern. Says the Gemara, we have a kasha on that too. You're putting a limit. You're placing that 30 ribs limit for flying. No more on that. At time you have a brice over yishuv. If you're placing your nets, you're setting up your traps in a inhabited area. Even if you within 100 mil, it's a huge amount of space. You can't set up your trap. It's got to be totally wilderness. Way more than 30 ribs. And here we say 30 ribs is as far as the bird will go. When it says yishuv, it means like this. Yishuv keramim. The area is filled with, you know, vineyards, which the birds get attracted to, and they'll just go from one kerem to the other. They'll use, you know, the kerem as their stopovers, and they'll just keep on going. I mean, if the land is empty and barren, they'll stop at 30 ris. But if they have these kerem along the way, that will extend their flight distance. So over there you have to be careful. You shouldn't set up any traps, even if it's 100 mil from the city, because the city birds will get all the way here through the kerem. Rabbi Amar Bishav Shebachim, we're speaking that there's a string of birdhouses along the way, so they'll just hop from one to the other and they'll get all the way here. Asks the Gemara, typically Mishum Shebachim Gufayu. Hold it. If you have these birdhouses along the way, so in any case you can't place a trap down here, because even if it's far from the city, but you're placing it near the local birdhouse, that in itself should be a concern. Right? Says the Gemara, three terutzim. Iboy same with the day. Perhaps I'm speaking that the birdhouses are his, so there's no question of stealing them from his supply. Rather, the concern is that the city birds might hop all the way out here because they have what it be, they have these motels along the road. Okay, we can speak on the other bird has to belong to a guy. There's no issue of interfering there. They're just hefker. So again, there's no issue of taking from them. Rather, the issue is just because of the birds coming from town. And since they have all these inviting abodes along the way, that'll get them to perhaps travel all the way out here. And you have to be careful not to set up your traps in this manner. Okay, so conclusion. Discussed placing a distance between the town and things that are bird related. So we have three different halachas. One is regarding placing your birds near town. Keep them far away lest they consume the residents', you know, garden material. How far away? 50 amas is enough for that. What about setting up a bird trap? 30 ris from cities required. And if there are all kinds of things along the way which encourage the birds to travel even further, then even that's not allowed. Rabbi Demibes Arbas Kura Nuchul. So Mishnah concludes that if you purchase a property which already had a built-in bird nest, you don't have to worry about distances. It's been worked out. Just pick it up where it left off. Amar Papa Vitimer of Zvid. So they both explain. Rav Papa, some say it was Rav Zvid, right? They say Meris. From this mission we learn, Te'anin le'keach, but Te'anin le'yayrish. Te'anin means the Bezdin will advocate for you. They'll sort of speak on your behalf. So let's say, Rashi says like this, let's say a person purchased a property, a person inherited a property. And we have witnesses that it was his, right? That were his father's. And he says, look, yeah, I got it from my father. I bought it from, such and such person who had it for a while. And I know that it was his, right? I have Adam that it was his. And now this fellow comes along and says, a new fellow says, what do you mean? It's mine. So even though Shimon, the current occupier of the property, doesn't know what to say to Reuven, who's claiming it as his, he just knows that he got it from his father or from his seller. So we step in and we say, look, we assume that Shimon's father or Shimon's seller purchased it from you, Reuven. Have a nice day. So typically we don't do that to a person, right? If let's say Shimon says, what do you mean? What are you complaining to me, Reuven, that it's yours? I was here for many years already. Right? Nobody complained to me. That doesn't work. You have to explain yourself. You have to detail your claim. Oh, I purchased it from you, etc. So we don't step in and help him on that. But by the keyach, by the Yerush, he doesn't know better. All he knows is he got it from his father. How's he supposed to know who his father got it from? Or the keyach, I purchased it from a seller who owned it. How am I supposed to know where he got it from? So there we can step in and fill in the blanks, connect the dots, and say, look, presumably they got it from you, Mr. Reuven. Have a nice day. So likewise in our Mishnah, which says that once you purchase the property, you don't have to. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to justify why there's a birdhouse in the middle. I don't know. This is why I got it. I'm sure he's an Elohim. He worked it out. That's called Tayanan. We step in and we advocate. We protect you. Says the Gemara, well, these concepts have already been articulated elsewhere. Why the repetition? Yerush Tanina. The idea that we help a Yerush. We has already learned Haba Misham Yerusha. Right? It's a Mishnah. If somebody claims ownership due to Yerusha, he doesn't have to explain where his inheritor got it from. So why repeat it in our Mishnah? Well, lekeach is trichaleim. The second point that we help a lekeach, a purchaser as well, that we need to learn in our Mishnah. Well, what do you mean? Lekeach namitanina, that's been learned elsewhere as well. That we advocate, that we protect, we defend a buyer. We have a halacha which says like this. Lekach chatzar, ubazizin, uxistrois. A person purchased a residential space, a chatzar, and he sees there are ledges and porches protruding into the street. Does he have to explain how they got there? Does he have to show that it was authorized by the city council? No. We assume he worked it out. The seller took care of it with the city people, paid for it or whatever. So we see that we are toyanin lelekeach. Why does our Mishnah have to repeat the same idea with the birdhouse perched in the middle of this fellow's property? Says the Gemara, each halacha carries its own special, unique, distinctive lesson. Tzricha, diashmin hasam, gabishus harabim. If only the case over there with the ledges extending to the street, it's a sarab, it's a public domain, right? So there we certainly say, look, the city would have came down hard on you. The emor koines shaloyu, we assume either, one of two options, either. It's not really extending to the street, perhaps your wall was inverted, was pulled back, was offset. Right? And you set it back so you can go ahead and extend yourself. So there's no issue of protruding to the street. Inami or achuli achul. B'nei Rosh Hashanah gabe, perhaps the public allowed you to do it. So we assume it must have been done right. Otherwise, you can't start up. You know, nobody would. They wouldn't have let you do it. Aval achalai, but here, by a birdhouse in the middle of the property. Who says the neighbor, acquiesced? Maybe it was just done against his will. So that's why the Mishnah has to tell us no. If I purchased the property in this manner, I assume it was done kosher. On the other hand, if we only speak about our case of the birdhouse, since it involves just his neighbor, who's a private person, so we assume he must have paid him off, he must have, he worked it out. But in the other case, we have ledges protruding to the street. You're encroaching on the public's domain. Man pais, uman shavik. Who has the ability to, work it out, to let you do it? So perhaps he didn't go through the official channels. He didn't go through the city council. So perhaps we have to question how it happened. We can't just assume it was done kosher. Tzricha, that's why we go through both cases and we tell you, look, it's been there. We assume it was authorized, it was approved, it was certified, and there's no need to go back and reopen the file. Hari v'chazka, say. So that's the point. If you have it set up, you don't need to justify it anymore. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? At most you have a chazak. But we learned before about Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Ein chazak le nezaka. When it comes to harming and damaging, there's no concept of chazaka. Every day is a fresh, new issue. So just because you had it this way till now, it doesn't give you a right to go further and keep it that way. No, says the Gemara, that only pertains to very critical types of situations, very severe damage causations. Mari Amar Bekutra comes with this massive amount of smoke that's going in there. Zridam Beis HaKisei. So then we say, chazaka is meaningless. We can reevaluate it as we go along. But when it comes to this case of a burnt house, the issue is not so serious. And once we have a chazaka, we'll let you go. Says the Mishnah, Nipul hanimtza b'tzei chamishim amah. You find a little bird, a little gezel, within 50 amah of a shevach of a birdhouse. Who do they belong to? The birdhouse owner. Hari yoshev al ha-shevach, chutz b'chamishim amah, if it's beyond 50 amah. Hari yoshev ma'itzoi, so, finders keepers. Nimtza b'en shnei shevachis. Let's say, there are two birdhouses, and you find this baby bird within 50 amah of both birdhouses. Who does it belong to? The one that's closer. Korav l'zeh shalai. Korav l'zeh, it's close to the other one. Shalai belongs to Mechza Mechzav, it's right in the middle. Shnei Mechleg, they split it. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Let's say we're faced with a choice. There are two types of factors which will substantiate things. One is called a roiv, majority factor. If the majority goes one way, you follow the majority. Rashi says, it's based on a pasuk. Acharei rabim lahatayt. We even follow the majority of the Bezdin. On the other hand, we find something called karev. When something is situated close to something, we assume it relates to that. Rashi says, again, it's based on a pasuk. V'hayir ha-karev al-achol. You find that the person in the road, the closest city, is presumed to be the producer of the perpetrator, in which case that city is responsible. It must bring a egla rufa, right? Well, let's say these two factors clash with each other. Roiv v'karev. You have a question of going either after the roiv or after something which is karev. Which one do you follow? Holcha nacha roiv. Roiv is stronger. It verifies. It confirms. Va'af agam, says Rabbi Chanina. Durubu d'araisa. V'kurubu d'araisa. Both factors are based on the pasuk, the menat Torah. Afilu hachibubu adav. Still, roiv is to be preferred. That determines the halacha. Masiv Rabbi Zera. Have a kasha, says Rabbi Zera. Let's go to Egla Urufa. You find a killed person on the road, and the closest city will have to engage in bringing the Egla Urufa. So Karev is what determines. What about the other city far away, but it's a bigger city? More people involved. There are more possibilities that the murderer came from there, right? More chances, more people, right? So you have roiv against the karev, and the pasuk says, what do you follow? Karev. Not roiv. He says, well, there's no city with more people than the city nearby. Okay, but if you tally together, you add up all the people in the world, of course, the number is greater than the people in the city nearby, so chances are it came from them, not from here. B'yishev has been a harim. We're talking at the city is situated between the mountains, Rashi says, it's really, you know, beyond reach of people. People typically don't travel. Reitzchim, murderers don't travel far away, you know, to this type of setting to kill. They close by and they run home, but they don't. So, they're not really going to be included in the equation. Rather, we look at what's going on locally. And since this is the closest city and the biggest city, so she's responsible. Tanan, let's go to our Mishnah. We have a Mishnah, Nipul HaNimtza B'Zeh Chamishim Amah, HaRishol Bala Shoivach. We have this bird within 50 Amah of this birdhouse. It belongs to him. V'Avagav D'Ika Achrina, Nafesh Minei. What do you mean? There are other birdhouses, you know, 70 Amahs away, 80 Amahs away, that are more inhabited, more residents than this local birdhouse. And what does the Mishnah say? Who do we relate it to? The Karev. Not the roiv, but the lech was speaking to Arant. Birdhouses with more numbers than this one. Yochi, if that's the case, emo seifa. Let's continue to the next part of the Mishnah. Chutz mechamishem ama, hariyushal moitza. If you find it 60 ama from this birdhouse, you can keep it. Why? Vidu lech, but if there are no other birdhouses that have more residents, vaday meunafal. It certainly fell from this one. Right? If there's nobody else to reckon with. Says the Gemara, hold it. We have to relearn the whole halacha. We're not speaking about a bird that's flying. He's too young to fly. He's a baby bird, barely hopping around. Halacha, my skin of a medanda. He's jumping around. So the whole Mishnah is speaking about this type of bird. And we know the halacha is, Damar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, he tells us an interesting phenomenon. Kol medad, any this type of baby bird, ein medad yoyse minun, will never jump, will never hop more than 50 amah. Right? From his birdhouse. He can't go more than 50. He stops at 50. That's how far he'll go. So, yeah. If you find the nipa within 50 amos, so certainly belongs to the shayvach. If it's beyond 50 amos, it cannot have originated from the shayvach. Rather, sorry, so Rashi says, if it's more than 50 amos from this birdhouse, apparently, he's no longer considered a medada. He's already a mature bird. He can fly. Otherwise, how would he have gotten here? So now, we follow the Rav. Rav of the Alma presumably belongs to somebody out there, Rav, versus this birdhouse here. So since the owner is unidentifiable, you can keep it. That's how Rashi goes to Gemara. By Rav Yirmiyah, because Rav Yirmiyah was a shayla. 50 amas is the cutoff point, right? What about Ragli? Let's say he's half in, he's half out. Ragli achas b'seich nun amma. Ragli achas chutz m'chamishim amma ma'u. This baby bird is half in, half out. One leg is within the 50 amma mark. One is outside the 50 amma mark. How do you treat it? Says the Gemara, they weren't very impressed with this question, and they forced him to leave the Beis HaMedrash. Because of this question, afku, they removed the Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Medrash from the Beis Medrash. Now Tosfos explains, Tosfos says, it's not because he was, you know, discussing, you know, impracticable scenarios. That's not a reason to. Rather, he says, Rabbi Natam says, because Mishum de Medada, Eina Medada Klal, Yesam Chamisham Amo. Afilu Raglai Ach, the whole Mida is Chacham Kenu. He says that the Shiurim that were established by the Chachamim, including the fact that a medad, a baby bird, cannot go past 50 amah, is absolute. It's impossible that he'll go even a drop outside of 50 amah. So, if this bird, in fact, was partially beyond the 50 amah, then he's not a medad. There's nothing to discuss. He's not a medad with one foot out. He's no longer a medad. He's a mature bird who's treated differently. Okay. Actually, the Bach brings that later on in the Kuf Samachay, we find the whole story there where they actually went to Esther Mashaila and he helped them out, and because of that, they brought him back to Beis Medrash. So, you know, in the yeshiva world, they say a little bit of a joke, you know. How long was Rav Yirmiyah outside the Beis Medrash? Well, if he left the Beis Medrash in Chav Gimel, in Baba Basra, and he was brought back in, he was reinvited in the Kuf Samachay. Well, it depends how quick they were learning. If they were learning really slow and thorough and, you know, yeshivish and lamdish, it could have taken a couple of years. They were learning that fiyami, it was just a matter of a few months. Okay, Tashma. Here's another riot to Aushaila, whether you prefer the roiv factor or the kariv factor. Tashma, nimtza ben shnei shavachot. So back to the Mishnah. You find this bird situated between two birdhouses. Kariv is a shaloi. V'karev is a shaloi, and we're speaking that it's within 50 amah of both of them. So whichever one is closer, he gets it. V'avagav d'chad b'na'u nafish, mechabre. And we're assuming that one of them has more birds than the other one. And we still prefer the karev versus the roiv. It's a kashar of Chanin who says, roiv carries a day. Ha'achav v'eskinu shishneim shav, and says, Gemara, we're speaking that they both have the same exact amount of birds. So roiv is not a factor. V'leizav asarubad alma. Says the Gemara, the Gemara, Rashi says now that the Hava Amina was, the Gemara figured that was speaking that he found it beyond 50 Amma. So it was beyond the 50 Amma mark of either birdhouse. So in that case, he's a flying bird. So then you can just bring the whole world into the equation. And we assume it came from elsewhere. Hachav Mayaskina and Bishvil Shakram. No, says the Gemara, we're speaking that he's a Madad. He's a baby bird who can't fly it. Rather, was speaking that he found them in a shvil, a little pathway, running between the vines. And that gives him an added measure of security, of comfort, and he'll sometimes he'll stretch it beyond 50 amos, provided he's within eyeshot of his home, of his birdhouse. Meaning, if he turns around, he can see his thing unobstructed, then he'll keep on going. So deim isa d'ma'al ma'as, if in fact it came from elsewhere, he couldn't do that. Kivin the medada, since he's merely a medada, le'matzi asi, he couldn't come from so far. Why? The chod medadi. Because any little baby bird who's a medada, v'hod chazil kinei medadi, he can still he'll be medada as long as he can still turn around and chazil kinei and notice his home base, his khan, his birdhouse. But otherwise, if he's too far gone, he's obstructed from his loy medada, he won't go and continue being medada. So it's impossible that he came from elsewhere because he's in the shul sakramim, and right, which is blocking his view. And the only thing, the only place we can speculate he came from was from these two shevachim that are right nearby, And since they're both, the same size, so you don't have the Rav factor. Rather, you look at the Karev to determine, right, the closest one is probably where he came from. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We discussed the sugi of Harchakas and Zaken, of the birds who are encroaching on Rav Yosef's palm trees. Keep away birds from the city, lest they consume the seeds in the city. Keep your traps away from the city birds. We learned about Toyanen LaYorish, Toyanen LaKeach, you stand up for your rights, assuming that it was worked out by your predecessors. We learned the Aloha of Nipol HaNimtza B'Sechamishim Amma. The Gemara says we're speaking about a Medada. We can go not even a drop past 50. So the Aloha is if it's within 50, it belongs to this birdhouse. Otherwise, it could have come from anywhere, because now he's a flying bird. So in this case, you can keep it. Rechaniah tells us halacha when you have roev versus a karev. We prefer roev, and that determines the halacha. All the best to you, and atzlacha.